Stuff Is Reddit podcast.
Marcus Smart is so good. Hayden. Brown.
Hello and welcome to the Celtics Reddit podcast. My name is Ben Vallis. Thank you for joining us. Hope you're doing well. The Celtics have successfully played their way into the playoffs via the play-in tournament, blowing out the Wizards in the end, 118 to 100 behind Tatum's 50 points. We're going to talk all about it. We've got some takes from the lovely people of Celtics Reddit and some stuff on the upcoming Celtics Nets series. Jackson and Joe are both here. Jackson, how you doing, man? Welcome back.
Yeah, good man. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, yeah. Jackson, resplendent in his very finest knockoff Celtics jersey.
How nice of you to notice. It's number zero, baby. It's number zero.
I miss the GE logo. That Vista print.
100%.
Sucks, but the GE was quite like, makes me wistful and nostalgic.
We played a lot better under the GE corporate umbrella.
Have we thought about that?
Yeah. Well, Vistaprint is what, like, they just print, like, you know, billboards and stuff. GE, that's like high level business and shit. So I don't know, maybe it correlates with the team performance. But yeah, there's a Jaylen Brown one in the background there. It's going to be useless for the podcast listeners other than the two of us. But yeah, I ordered that with the GE logo. It showed up without it, and I was genuinely disappointed. It's an important part of the design, but hey, what can you do?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's good to have you back, man. And of course, we've got our New Zealand correspondent, Joe. How's things? How's the weather over there in New Zealand? Over the Tasman there?
Starting to get pretty nasty over here. Yeah. Starting to get pretty nasty. We can't... This is the difference between New Zealand and Australia, eh? Like, I envy your winters.
Hey, I got the hoodie on.
They're pretty benign.
Cold up here in my attic. In my uninsulated attic.
I can't whinge too much. Like, it's not like we're flipping Alberta or something like that.
Yeah. You know, where it's just it's not raining shuttles anymore either, Joe, is it? So you should be okay.
The PRC weather system, fortunately, has passed over.
Have you got any Celtics fans in your town, Joe? I don't think I've ever asked you this in all the years that we've been doing this. Like, is there a guy that you walk past and you're like, hey, tip of the hat, fellow Celtics
there
fan?
There is. It's a great question. I'm going to shout him out. Matt Locke. Matt Locke's a Celtics.
Mate.
Yeah. Matt Locke's a Celtics. I used to play with him back when we were wee nippers. He's 2 years younger than me.
He means small children for anyone listening overseas. Sorry, go on. Translation.
And anyway, yeah, so Matt's the other Celtics fan that I definitely know of. Yeah.
Awesome. Cool. Mm. You got to have one in your life, right, that you see on a sort of regular basis. It definitely helps.
I have two.
Oh, well, if you've got more than one, then you're absolutely killing it.
Well,
so.
I was sort of referring to you guys, but you know.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. I got it. Thank you, Jeff.
It's great of man. Let's get to the game, shall we? Not necessarily an awesome team game from the Celtics today. Only 20 assists, 10 turnovers. Didn't out-rebound the Wizards. I think the standout element was the hustle on perimeter defense to the point where Marv Albert thought everyone was Marcus Smart. The Wizards made 3 3-pointers in this game. 14% overall from three, which is just ridiculous. You could say we got off lucky, or you can say that the hustle on the perimeter D got it done for the Celts. Jackson, we'll go to you first. It's been a while since you've been on the pod. Thoughts on the game, mate?
Just quickly on the Marv Albert thing. I'm going to give him a pass, even though he called Aaron Nesmith Marcus Smart so many times. 26 and 36 to, you know, an elderly gentleman who's not in there in person. It's an easy mistake to make. That's fine. But I swear in the first quarter he said something like, oh, Bradley Beal is 0 for 30 since coming back from his injury. Okay, he came back on Monday and had 25, so I don't know where he's getting that information from, or if he's just like not reading it probably. But anyway, yeah, man, they were like 1 for 14 from 3, the Wizards, at some, like, I think in the third quarter. And that's just, in today's NBA, that's just almost unheard of. And I remember looking at the score thinking there is no way we're only up by 10 or whatever it was at the time. So, I mean, hustle on the perimeter, as far as that translated, their three-point shooting was concerned. Yeah, I thought that was noticeable, and it definitely played a part. I mean, the game's about Tatum, obviously. Does anyone think anything different otherwise?
Well, no. Yeah, I mean, it's very hard to take anything away on a sort of like macro level about this game. But guess what? It's the playoffs. Like, you don't have to take any. There is no macro left, right? Like, we've reached the sort of end of the timeline, right? And it doesn't really matter anymore, you know. Like, there is only the micro. So yes, and in the micro, Tatum had a performance that we can really enjoy.
But it does. So first of all, Reddit user Kilometer wrote, Tatum with the first ever 50-point play-in game in NBA history, and it needs to be said that the play-in game stats kind of get like shuffled off to this weird like never realm where they don't really exist. They're not regular season stats. They're not playoff stats. They just exist in a vacuum. So I feel like, unfortunately, sadly, it kind of detracts from the awesomeness of a 50-point game. But rightfully called out by Kilometer there. On the macro level thing, Joe, like, it does a little bit feel like a continuation of Tatum's regular season, right? Like, we've seen a few high-scoring games from him later in the season as he sort of recovered from COVID and found his rhythm a little bit. Like, it's not completely on a micro level, right? Like, we are... Like, he has blessed us with games like this in recent history, I guess is what I'm saying.
Yeah. Yep, he has. I feel like Larry Larbird is I'm surprised he didn't make it through just to come on and
our associate
and challenge you.
So friend of the pod, once and future co-host of the pod.
Yeah.
Larbird. I feel like he's I'm going to use Larbird as kind of like a proxy for everybody who I imagine disagrees with me. This game is sort of like, for me, it didn't really prove much about Tatum aside from the fact that this is what he can do. And that might sound like kind of like, oh, well, that's not much of a take. But he has played really, really well, and he has scored really, really well. Like, I had, you know, I'm not trying to fight facts here. In terms of like what this means in the trend line of Tatum's career, I don't really think it means heaps. I think it means that he scored 50 points against the Washington Wizards, which is not a very good team, in a game that really did mean something, right? So it doesn't mean that he is destined for future MVP status.
You disagree with Scott Brooks there?
Yeah, I do. I mean, honestly, there are how many MVPs have there actually been in the last 30 years? Like, how many individual MVPs
30. Have there been? Oh, no, hang on, less than that. Less than 30.
Jackson, don't take the bait.
Yeah, beg your pardon.
Are you, that Scott Brooks predicted accurately or just in general?
No, just in general, right? Like, there's, like, pretty much all MVPs win more than one. There's the odd, right, Russell Westbrook, James Harden, I guess Kevin Durant, but, like,
Nash.
There's just not that many guys that get to that level.
Yeah.
And it's still, like, this is a great performance by Tatum. I want to just leave this, park this here. It doesn't mean that he is heading for that level.
Okay? Yeah. What do you think, Jackson? Because there was some blowback from the last episode where it was kind of an end of season wrap up. And just for context for anyone who didn't catch the last episode, what Joe's talking about is in wrapping up the end of the regular season last week, we talked about concerns over Jason Tatum being great in his own right, but not necessarily being capable of carrying the Celtics in any iteration to a championship as the lead guy. So I'm curious, Jackson, to hear your response to Joe's comments just now.
Well, I don't see any evidence yet to suggest that Joe is incorrect as far as championship aspirations are concerned. Like, he's been in a game 7 before and, you know, he was delivering and then he got frozen out. That's a different story. The series against Miami last year, decent performance, but didn't get us over the line. I'd say that if we think about it, like the 53 against Timberwolves, it was 53, wasn't it? The 60 against the Spurs and then the 50 today have all come in the last 39 days. And I think
that was some quick maths, Jackson.
Oh, man, I prepare sometimes.
Well, you're filled about this. I prepare
sometimes for this episode, man. Trust me.
It's cheating. And if you're not allowed to prepare.
Just like I prepared for the quiz, too. But yeah, no, I think if you take the month of May and you set aside that Bulls game where he had 9 points and everyone was just ass, he's averaging pretty much near 30, and it's had no real bearing on whether we've been a better team or a worse team. We've been pretty down the middle. We were a 500 team, like, officially, and we were pretty, you know, hit and miss over this stretch too. So yeah, I don't think his superstardom, you know, potential or what he's playing at now is going to be good enough to get us past the likes of the Brooklyn Nets. But he's whatever he needs to do as far as success is concerned, he's doing it now. He's been doing it leading into this game. So as far as his play and his like ability to take the Celtics to a title is concerned, he's doing his part. You know what I mean? It needs to be, you know, a team around him that isn't decimated by injuries or COVID or has a little bit of experience or more talent. So it's hard to say whether he himself in a vacuum will take us to a title. It really depends on the other guys, because what I've seen from him, he's fulfilling his end of the bargain, at least so far in his career trajectory.
Before Ben, I know I'll leave you with a right of reply. I don't want to like spend too much time on this particular point because it's sort of not really the vibe for totally. You know after
completely
a thing.
Agree.
All I would say is that I still stand by my opinions, but this is a data point, right? And he's had a couple of data points that show I may be wrong, okay? And I'm happy to acknowledge it as a data point. So, and I'm enjoying this particular data point. I'm savoring this particular data point because I'm a Celtics fan and I want to see Tatum do well and I want to see the team do well. Yeah. So that's my macro. That's probably for me where I'll leave the macro Tatum discussion.
Yeah, no, fair enough. But the thing that I liked about this game in particular, was that it was situational in that it wasn't, you know, Durant's the LeBrons, they come in and they have their time on the court and it's like they're on the court, they score, they assist, they rebound, they go off, you know, the bench doesn't do so well, they come back on, they score, they assist, they rebound. It's like their impact is clear and consistent. And yes, you could use that as a knock against Tatum, but what I liked about Tatum today was that the second quarter was not great for the Celtics, and I was saying to my mate, shout out to Kenyon, who I watched the game with today. Tatum's going to need to have like a 30-point third quarter to make this game something, because that second quarter sucked, and we're not getting anything really from anyone else. Like Fournier didn't have a particularly good game, and Tatum did flip that switch. He did put the team on his shoulders a little bit, and he did show that leadership. He got to the line 17 times, made all of his free throws. He was shooting 25% at the end of the first quarter, 33% at halftime, and then he scored 23 in the third quarter, 32 in the second half on 52% shooting. He did sort of have a decisive pivot where he was like, I'm fucking winning this shit. And that is a little leadery. That's pretty baller. That there's some testicular fortitude to that, you know, pivot in his game. And I liked that. I liked that he sort of recognized the moment and clearly impacted the game. Like there was no doubt that like Tatum was the best player on the court for the majority of the game, particularly after the first quarter and a half. I liked that from him today.
He's clearly not fussed about being the guy that has to be the one to take over the game. Like he looks comfortable doing that now, which is very encouraging. I said to my mate, who wasn't watching the game, I was like texting him updates and said, I said, that was a very nonchalant 50. I think 17 at the line has something to do with that too. But I mean, other than that spell in the third quarter where he was pretty much unconscious, like Kemba was also really good in the third quarter too. So it didn't feel like, oh my God, look, it looked like it wasn't like the Spurs game where it was just him versus an entirely other team. It was like he had his moments. And obviously he was, you know, 50 points isn't nothing by any stretch of the imagination, but because he was at the line and because he had that, you know, that help, you know, to some degree, it didn't really feel like a super dominant 50 point game, at least to me anyway.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's a sign of greatness. Like I agree, that's kind of a sign of greatness, right? Or that's how I want his greatness to manifest. Sorry, Ben.
Well, just I was only going to say that the commonality between the Wolves and the Spurs and the Wizards today is that they don't really have a Tatum stopper. And there's two things there. Like the fact that the phrase Tatum stopper maybe exists is good. Like that, because you know, we always talk about Giannis stopper and LeBron stopper. Like, okay. If Tatum stoppers the thing, like that's good. That's a compliment to Tatum and the Celtics and his game. But at the same time, there was no Tatum stopper for either of those teams, and that's where he had his high scoring output. And maybe that means something, particularly as we wander into whatever the Nets series is going to be. And I think we all kind of have a similar viewpoint there, and I think most fans can agree. And we'll get to that series in a little bit, but as important and as awesome and just like fucking pleasant as this Tatum game was, like they don't have a 6'9 small forward who can defend, really, I guess, is the commonality between these teams. On the leadership aspect, and you know, this speaks to what we were talking about last episode, Joe, it's a Keith Smith tweet. Jason Tatum on his leadership style after 50 points, quote, "I see a lot of people wanting me to lead or act a certain way, like there's one style of leadership. That's not true. I'm reserved, but I show up every day. I talk to guys all the time. I'm going to be me." And then Larbird sort of, he actually sent me this quote as well in an article written by Adam Himmelsbach in the Boston Globe, and likened him to Tim Duncan in sort of that quiet leadership. Obviously not in like all-time playing style. Tim Duncan is like all-time player in the league ever. But, you know, Tim Duncan was a quiet leader. He led that team quietly, and there's maybe a similar sort of personality there to Tatum. Do you guys buy into that at all?
Yes and no. I do think that, I think I made some comments in the last pod to something along the lines of, I don't know if he's if his demeanor is that of an emotional leader. It's not necessarily everyone's job to be an emotional leader. What I saw today, though, was body language, right? Like, just because you don't have to be rah-rah-rah, like Marcus Smart is rah-rah. Antoine Walker back in the day was rah-rah-rah, right? And then Antoine Walker went out and took soft shots, right? The point was today his body language was aggressive. Right, that's sufficient for me. I don't regard that as like a fatal flaw. It's more something that maybe I was bringing up in the context of, and by the way, this is something else to consider, you know. But no, I don't see that as fatal to his leadership at all. But I just want to make the point that the fact that he did show aggressive body language today did set the tone for his team. Like that's another way of leading. If he plays passive, the team will be passive. If he plays aggressive, the team will pick up on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
I loved his body language today. I loved it. I could tell.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the guy was there, man. He was there. He was going to impact the hoop and therefore the game.
Yeah, absolutely. And another comment from Celtics Reddit. This is from the post-game thread by Wayne Spoonie, who has been awesome. Again, I've shouted out Wayne Spoonie before on Celtics Reddit. So many good, high quality, original content posts.
Yes,
we will get to some. Well, yeah. I want to get to some Wayne Spoonie stuff in the off season as well, because I think a lot of the stuff is sort of evergreen that this person's been, I'm assuming it's a, but he has been posting. He needs to be more willing as a passer, Wayne Spoonie says, when he gets into the lane as well, referring to Tatum. But ultimately, that type of stuff comes with experience. This is his first season of being the clear-cut number one option, and he's had his growing pains, but every sign is pointing to him being a legit superstar. I mean, we could probably leave it there on Tatum, because it is kind of on a knife's edge where we've seen a lot of good and a lot of bad, and to the point where it's all opinions, and there's no right or wrong viewpoint on Tatum, right? Like, I feel like it could legitimately go either way, and we're sort of at that tipping point now. Is that fair, Jackson?
I mean, it's so hard to say, but I mean, as far as I'm concerned, like, this team will go now as far as Tatum will take them. How far Tatum can take the team is what's in question, but like, no, what isn't in question is that it's all on him. So if he shows what he shows today, then we're every chance of getting a couple games off the Nets. I don't want to jump ahead to the Nets game or anything like that, but you know, if he does that, I reckon it's definitely we're in with some sort of competitive, you know, chance. But if he doesn't, then you know, we're stuffed. You know, I think it's that's all we can really be sure about.
I think it's good and right to focus on the fact that tonight was a positive data point which shows what could be, right?
Yeah.
What could be is a 6'9" guy going to the rim aggressively, drawing 10+ free throws a game. Right, that is a top 10 player. That is a guy who does drive winning.
He finished with his left hand.
Doesn't have to.
I was going to say, he's just going to get his left hand in.
Okay, now that's bait. Leave it alone. Leave that one alone.
It did happen. Yeah.
I did see it. I did see that one, yes, over Alex Lennon. I think in the second quarter, I think. But
it was over Alex Lennon.
Elite big man, Alex Lennon. Yeah.
But 17 free throws is low variance, right?
Yeah.
It's low variance. It's going to keep you in games.
Yep.
So, what was our biggest deficit today? Did we get to 10? It was like 8, right?
I think it was
like
8.
Biggest
yeah.
deficit. Mm. Yeah. If you only have 8 down, that's less than 3 positions.
Yeah.
Right. It's like 2.5 positions. You know, you're in striking distance all the time. So that's great. He can do it.
Yeah.
On a night like tonight. Mm-hmm. So that's great.
So we should talk about Kemba Walker, who was sort of the other factor in this game as far as the Celtics winning. 29 points, 7 boards, 2 assists, 2 steals, and at least a couple of charges taken. 42% from 3, and I was surprised to see that he only shot 10 of 24 from the field overall. It felt like it was just money and reliable all night. What do you guys think about Kemba Walker? I guess we'll go to you again, Jackson, but like, is he improving to the point where, dare I say it, we should be marginally excited about the Nets series, or is it just a nice bow on the season?
I'm going to echo what La Bird has said many times. The Kemba Walker is Kemba Walker. You know, some people overrate him, some people underrate him. He's like, statistics show that he's been pretty much himself, you know, throughout his entire career. So what I'm encouraged by is that you don't have Jaylen Brown, who is your number two. And those two guys out of 118 points scored 79 of them. Now, obviously, Tatum's 50 is going to skew that one way, but... You know, if he can live up to his...
Like Kwame Brown and Kobe combining it, for 82.
Yeah, 100%. But to be fair, like, no, I mean, all he's got to be is a good complement to Tatum. And if that, like, means contributing, you know, nearly 30 points, then sweet. If that means just getting a bunch of charges and, you know, a couple of extra assists than he had tonight, then that's encouraging as well, too. But, I mean, if those two are going to be on for these playoff series, then, I mean, sure. Like I said, I come back to my previous point. We'll have a competitive chance for sure. But I don't think, you know, let's just say, I'm touching so much wood here. If Tatum does go down and is out for the series, then even if Kemba Walker averages 40, that's not going to do it for us, you know? So no. It's encouraging to see a performance like this. But I mean, he, as far as I'm concerned, he's just feeling it. He's doing what he needs to do. He's not wowing me, as unfair as that might seem.
No, that's fair.
Okay, tell me if I'm repeating myself a little here, Ben, but like my feelings toward Kemba are not like negative in a personal sense. They're negative towards him in like a value return on investment sense, right? And I'm tempted to say, if he restores his value enough to be tradable for equal or lesser value, it's probably a good time to move him. But failing that, right? There are no trades to be made before the list for the rest of the season. Okay, he scored. He had a string of 30-point games. Tonight he was knocking on the door. Great. I hope long may it continue. You know, there was a couple of shots he took after he'd gotten hot. There was one 3-pointer that I remember.
Yeah.
Kimber, I hate that shot.
Yeah, the exact one. Yeah,
it was not in rhythm at all.
But that's not typically a problem for Kimber. Like there's areas of his game that I would tend to criticize, but that's not generally one of them. I don't think he's generally a bad shot taker.
Yep.
So so it's great to see him showing a heartbeat, and he's done it for a little while. And hey, I'm happy to be wrong about Kemba.
Well, look,
we're probably in it for the long haul.
You know? Yeah, I mean, maybe. But the reason that we open many podcasts, including this one, talking about Tatum and then talk about Tatum for so long is, like, maybe aside from Jaylen Brown, he's kind of the only one that really matters long term, which is why it's completely fine to discuss Kemba Walker's value as far as a trade piece. I think that's completely reasonable. We've covered it time and time again about the lack of complementary play style that Kemba brings as far as how he fits with Tatum and Brown. So, and now I'm repeating myself, but I think that's a completely fine lens to discuss Kemba Walker through. But yeah, as far as this playing game, It was great. We kind of needed him. Like, Tatum's 50, sadly, and this just speaks to, you know, the shortcomings of the bench, like, was not going to get it done. So it needed someone else to step up and score some points, which is good. Joe, I asked this to you because I know you're his biggest fan and because he's sort of emerging as sort of the most likely to be traded, you know, piece this offseason. What did you think of Marcus Smart in this game?
I thought he was really controlled. I thought this was, I do understand, the criticisms of him are valid. I just love him anyway. You know, I coach a junior boys basketball team over here, and we got this kid, and he's just an agent of chaos out there. And, like, he is, I said to him, like, I kind of wish I didn't say it to him, but it's just how I said it. I said, bro, you are, like, out of control talented. You are out of control, and you're talented, you know, like... but Marcus Smart, when he's courage under fire, is such an effective player. He's such an effective player. Offensively, a couple of plays spring to mind. One was the three that Neesmith hit. Smart was wide open, but he made a super quick, on time, on target, like laser, cross-court laser to him.
Yep.
That was not an easy pass. That's what Smart's capable of in terms of decision-making. He had a pass where he faked inside. It was like a coach's dream. Faked one way, two hands overhead. I forget to who the target was. And those plays for me were emblematic of him when he's playing under control. That said, just a quick note on Smart. It's his aggression as a feature, not a bug. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, the fact that he's aggressive about his shot taking. This may contradict me at other points, but I see it as part of what makes him effective, and it is and there's some unfortunate side effects that come with it. Tonight he was under control, and it was probably one of the better versions of him that you're going to get.
Yeah, I agree with that. Like, I think Smart is best when you don't notice him. To be fair, like, I mean, we will notice him because we love him, and you know we're Celtics fans, so we'll see it, but. You know, how many times has he hit like 9 3-pointers in a losing effort? How many times has he been, you know, ejected in a game that we ended up winning? Or, I don't know. But like, essentially, when he's the focus and he's the talking point from the game, I find chances are we didn't win that game. When he's, you know, he's, like you said, Joe, when he's under control and he's like making, you know, no pun intended, the smart play, then, you know, he's invaluable as far as I'm concerned. If we do end up trading him, then it better be for someone who's like leagues better at him in offense. Because if you're going to try and get someone who's better at being Marcus Smart than Marcus Smart, then, you know, that's just not going to happen. You're not going to find anyone realistically who's going to bring that to you. I don't know if I'm hijacking the topic here, but a side note, would you take Ish Smith on the Celtics?
Yes, yeah, absolutely. I thought that. I was like, why do we not sign this guy?
Unrestricted free agent in the summer. Unrestricted free agent in the summer, made $6 million this year. He would be everything that we wanted Jeff Teague to be and more. We got to try that, right?
Yeah. Just even just so that he never played us again for a season would be enough.
Sure.
You know, like, just, you know, send him to Maine. I don't care. As long as we don't have to face Ish Smith. Like, I said to my mate Kenyon again, shout out to Kenyon, that Ish Smith was going to come into this game and absolutely destroy us. And he was by far the most, like, efficient.
Very good second
player.
Quarter. Yeah.
Yeah.
Ish Smith. Get him up here. I want to sign him.
I want to
Bobby him.
Get him up here.
We can call him IS. Yeah. Fill the Isaiah void.
Yeah. On Smart, though, 8 field goal attempts, and he had 6 of our team's 20 assists in this game. So, yeah, Smart slipping under the radar, and just the discipline. Like, I think we all feel like we know who Marcus Smart is, and just the discipline and the poise to be that awesome version of Marcus Smart while Brown is not playing, and, like, there's more usage percentage sort of potentially floating Marcus Smart's way. It's nice. It's nice that he didn't, like, sort of take it upon himself, try and really imprint the game in that sense. So, very happy there. We should get to Time Lord very quickly, who came into the game with some turf toe concerns. He went up for the ball. He sort of fell on, I guess, Tatum's ankle. There was a moment there where it looked like another, like, double starter injury situation where looked like maybe Time Lord and Tatum both got hurt, but Time Lord definitely, like, tweaked the toe again. Looked like it could have been a lot worse. And then we were sort of stuck with Tristan Thompson as our primary big again. I think Tristan Thompson is awesome as the primary backup big. I think that as soon as he is tasked with being the basically the only big, because then, you know, your backups are Grant Williams and Luke Kornet and, you know, God forbid, Taco Fall. With Time Lord potentially out for even a longer period of time, I'm concerned. But what did you think of Time Lord's sort of limited impact in this particular game?
I thought immediately it was really noticeable how much of a difference that he makes. Like, it just felt like when Thompson's in, like, I'm with you. I like Thompson as a backup big. I like the fact that, you know, he gets in there and he's scrapped and he'll get an ugly rebound and he'll get to the line and whatnot. But it feels like he takes more shots than he by right should take, because he's just, defenses kind of like leave him alone because they'll take that, like, in that hook shot, which goes in sometimes. And he's a shit free throw shooter. So when Time Lord is out there, by contrast to Tristan Thompson, the difference is night and day. So I liked what he did. Like, he started very well. He had a very good block early on, from what I remember, and a couple of nice finishes too. But he talked about that when he landed on Tatum's ankle. Like, I don't know if you like want to pause that half a second after that happens, where they both go down. It looks like your worst nightmare. It looks like Robert Williams injures himself and he lands like right on Tatum's Achilles. And you just think, like, I remember watching it back, like, after the fact, you know that Tatum gets up immediately. He plays on. Robert's down. But you watch that back and it's like, how is Tatum not, like, injured as well, too? So that was a massive win for me watching that back. My big, big, big relief.
My worst nightmare would be, like, signing Al Horford, Gordon Hayward, and trading for Kyrie Irving and having them all leave and consider off-season.
Well, it's Jesus, all uphill from here then, isn't it?
There's numbers you can call, Joe. Like, we can get you in touch with somebody.
Well, two of those aren't in the playoffs. One we can send home, but, you know, we'll see.
Time Lord is a... He's a quicker decision maker than Thompson. That's the thing he knows about Thompson, right? It's like he's moving in molasses, you know? Mm-hmm. Everything feels really slow with him offensively, and Time Lord makes things happen quickly. We'll miss him, but by golly, the guy's injury prone, eh? I noticed this is the same injury.
It does seem that way.
This is just, like, I suspect this is going to be something that kind of follows him around for a while, so... Yeah. We might want to be careful in our restricted free agency negotiations. But he'd be up for an extension this summer, wouldn't he?
I believe so.
He is extension eligible.
And so
interesting decision.
And so when the injury occurred today, was be honest, your immediate reaction, was it, oh no, our future center Robert Williams, or was it, oh no, his trade value? Like, what was the immediate concern for you guys?
It was more, oh no, we're better off with him in this game. I want him out there.
In the moment. Yeah. I love it.
I'm not too long-term concerned. I don't think this changes as long-term sort of prospects one way or the other.
Yeah, okay. Mm. Fair enough.
Yeah, same.
Jackson.
Same. Yeah, okay. I would say same, yeah, absolutely.
Miscellaneous points is really... actually, on the Robert Williams situation, Brad Stevens said that he re-aggravated his turf toe. He'll get treatment and the Celtics will go from there. Stevens said that Marcus Smart will probably be sore after twisting his ankle, but that he'll be good to go. So we can add that to the list of times we thought Marcus Smart, you know, incurred a season-ending injury and came back on the court 2 minutes later, which is great. Miscellaneous notes from this game. Feel free to jump in at any point with your own sort of misc comments that aren't worthy of a segment. But sick energy from Jaylen Brown off the bench. I mean, you could argue that's the best impact we've had off the bench all year. Too soon.
That's no. No, that's fair. The bench looked energized with him on there in his own branded clothes. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I got
speaking
more.
Speaking of clothes, no, we won't.
No, I think we should.
Please, take me there, Joe.
Well, Kimball, there was a deleted tweet. Kimball Walker showed up wearing a hoodie with a snake with "Don't Tread on Me," which is like a libertarian kind of.
Oh, okay.
Totem. Yeah.
Interesting.
And Philly's got the snake on their court, right, sometimes too. Yeah, I have more of an issue with that.
Yeah, which is an American Revolution kind of bit of symbology there, yeah.
Or was it like, we'll definitely be playing Durant the next game?
Hey.
That kind of like confidence. You know, like, we're winning this game. We're facing
Where you
Durant,
on my shirt, man. You ain't got nothing.
Next miscellaneous point. Neesmith took 3 shots in his 8 minutes, but he did hit, and you referred to this earlier, Joe, one like kind of critical 3 there where I was like, oh good, he can hit big shots in big games. I just thought, I don't know, it wasn't like he didn't like feature heavily in this game, but I just thought he was great there in the moment.
And he made an amazing block. He's going to have a role, man. Labird got this one right. He is going to have a role. In the future. Yep, he's going to have a double-digit year NBA career, for sure.
Yeah.
You guys got any misc points before I rattle off my final few?
I was going to say, it's disappointing to see Peyton Pritchard not really feature and not really do much, but probably some, even though it was only one basket, probably alleviated by Neesmith's moment, so that was fine by me.
Yeah, 4 minutes.
Are we talking about Brooklyn yet? Sorry. No,
we're about to get
to
Brooklyn.
You want me to save it? Okay, yeah. Continue with the Pritchard. Sorry.
Sure. Well, I don't know. I don't have anything else on Pritchard other than, yeah, I mean, it's disappointing. They played 4 minutes and 35 seconds with one missed field goal attempt. This might be the last genuinely good moment we get to enjoy this season. So I think, I've got my little whiskey here. I just think that's nice. Just like, yeah, Joe's got something. He's got an empty glass or something.
There's a little bit in there.
Oh, yeah. Nice. Bit of red wine. And just 50 points in a play-in game, I just think soak it up. I don't think anyone needs to be told that, but I just think that it's, it's worth just sort of taking stock and just sort of pausing to enjoy the moment. This is pointed out by user Giannis Playoff Joker. FU Kyrie and we want
username
Brooklyn.
Checks out.
Yeah. FU Kyrie and we want Brooklyn with a chance coming from the limited TD Garden crowd at the end of this game. It was a late game. I think Leet Speak pointed this out in the post-game thread, but it was a 9 p.m. tip-off in Boston. So, intoxicated fans chanting maybe things they shouldn't chant. I just don't think we want that smoke, as people younger than me would say. fuck you, Kyrie. We want Brooklyn. Like, fuck you, Kyrie, sure, but we don't want Brooklyn, right? Like, we have to play them, but we don't want to play them.
This is the equivalent of like a kamikaze pilot, like, about to crash into something going, yeah, come on, woo! Like, I mean, this is just us kind of like, G-ing ourselves up for the inevitable death. But hey, whatever. They can, if I was there, I'd be joining in with them, so I ain't judged.
I completely disagree with both of you.
Okay.
Completely disagree.
I wouldn't chant for that.
And if you'd like to use this to sort of transition to the Nets thing, then go ahead, because my last 2 points are shitty. So please go ahead.
Okay, well, I'm more talking about the Nets here really now.
Yeah, let's get into it.
Here's the deal. Okay, let's say we'd qualified and we'd made it up to the 5 seed and Miami was 4th. Okay? And let's just say that we lost to Miami in 7. All right. Would you feel better about that, right, then say you go 6 games against Brooklyn and there's game 6 in Boston? What's more fun? I just want to make these guys feel some heat. I'm realistic in my expectations, but let's have some fun with this, man. What would honestly be more fun than upsetting Brooklyn?
Definitely beating the Sixers.
Honestly, I reckon upsetting Brooklyn would be the most fun thing at all. So this is where the irrational side of being a fan kind of kicks in. We don't have to be armchair GMs, right? Yeah, we're just fans, and we can just enjoy it, man. I hope Brooklyn comes in and we kick their ass. That'd be great. And it's probably not going to happen, but who cares? Let's just imagine that it can. And when you think about that, get excited for it. And I'm picking a goal for our team. Let's make it to game 6 back in Boston.
Yeah.
If we do that, man, that'll be cool. Game 6 back in Boston will be epic.
Yeah.
Get excited.
What do you think, Jackson?
I'm definitely excited, yeah. I mean, it's the ultimate test, really. If we beat Brooklyn, then I think we can win the title. Simple as that.
Well, here we go.
Yeah. I mean, okay. Here's where let's get a little bit more realistic. I think.
No,
someone,
that's not. Sorry.
No, it's okay. I'll still lean into this fantasy. Don't you worry. I think someone's going to get Brooklyn. I think the fact that Durant, Harden, and Kyrie have only played 8 games together or something like that, I think when they play a team that's giving them issues, because I think they're going to cruise for the most part, but they're going to have issues at some stage. When it gets down to that, who's going to take the shot? How do we function as a unit? I think someone like the Sixers, as much as it pains me to say, or the Heat even, would probably have the edge on them. You're going to be relying on one guy to kind of, and when I say one guy, it's most likely going to be Durant, but it could be Kyrie. It could be Harden as well, too. One of those guys can get you out of it, but how?
That's one of them, so they're right on one guy. Three.
Exactly. You know, you understand the self-awareness of what I'm saying here, but I think someone's going to do them. I think someone's going to do them. It's probably going to be the Sixers. If we do it, oh man, I couldn't give a shit what happens in round two. We get knocked in, we get swept in round two. Oh, it's fine, whatever, sweet. In knocking out the six, the Nets would be absolutely unbelievable. But like, I just think it's gonna be. I think we're good enough to get a game. And let me change that wording. I think Tatum is good enough to get us one game. Yeah, other than that, fair. It's going to come down to them being below par, us being up at our absolute best. And, you know, we've been good for stretches and we've been god-awful for stretches. If we've just timed our good stretch now and it's enough to get us past Brooklyn, then as far as I'm concerned, this season is a massive, massive success. But, you know, I've got no expectations anymore. I just don't want us to get utterly humiliated. I don't think a sweep would be humiliation if they're like 3 out of 4 close games. I think 3 out of 4 or 4 out of 4 blowouts would be unfortunate. And I don't think that's going to happen. I don't hope that happens.
Yeah. It would be unfortunate.
We're in the end game. It's like when you beat all the missions in GTA and then you just like roam around the world, just like fucking people up. I feel like that's where the Celtics are now.
And so you inevitably get wasted. Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. Yeah, and you like start to import all the cheats and like get all the weapons and cars and stuff. But I mean, if you do want to deep dive further than what's on paper, is obviously the Nets have a much better roster end to end than the Celtics, and you know no one would be surprised, even the biggest green teamer, if the Celtics got swept. But you know, matchup wise, Kemba, Kyrie, Tatum, Durant, Marcus Smart on Harden, like we do kind of have a like for like, it's not like for like, but we do kind of have an answer for each player. Like Kemba at his best could cancel out Kyrie. Smart at his best defensively could limit Harden, and you know,
Fournier could limit Harris too. Sorry if you were getting that, my apologies.
Sure. I mean, it's a huge stretch, obviously, and we need our guys playing at their absolute best and all of the Nets like kind of having a bad day for 4 games out of a best of 7 series. Very, very unlikely. But, you know, Joe, you talk about this all the time. We need hope. There should be some hope. I mean, not very much, let's be honest.
Joe's the hoper. He's the great white hope.
Yeah, I mean, like, that's credit to you, Joe. Like, with, you know, all of the non-homer takes that you have, and I would say sometimes realistic takes that you have, like, you harp on about the hope of being a fan more than anybody else. And I think this is really now where we need it more than ever, because it's the fucking Brooklyn Nets, and we need to hope. But there is some cause for hope there, I think, if not very little.
It's even more than that, right? I don't think I made my point very well before, but like, what could possibly be more fun this postseason than toppling one of the top tier teams? And if we'd finished in the middle of the pack, we might not necessarily have had our shot at them. But guess what? Now we get our shot. And You're kind of hitting on something that I'm trying to communicate, which is that there's this duality of fan, right? Which is armchair GM on one side, which tries to be realistic, and then just flipping can the bloody Celtics, you know? Like,
absolutely.
That's the other side, you know? So can the bloody Celtics. Yeah. Let's go, boys.
That's the thing. Yeah. It's time for like sinking tinnies on the hill and just like just blindly cheering your team. Like that's where we're at right now.
Tatum's going to get a double century.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Tatum the fastest double century.
Yeah.
Fastest double century in play-in game history.
Captain's knock. A couple of comments here from Celtics Reddit. So user CoolKidWannabe writes, I'd be happy if we win a single game against the Nets. And Adam B34N writes, we really need to capitalize in our home games versus Brooklyn with Kyrie sitting them all out. Zing.
right. Yeah. Yeah. That's a joke. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, well, maybe we'll see. I do think though, seriously though, that the Nets series is a win for Tatum in that like top five picks, they almost always come into the league on a shit team as the sole guy and have ample opportunity to sort of figure it out while it's okay to lose. And Tatum and Brown, both of them haven't had that luxury at all. They've come in and they were expected to fit as pieces within already successful teams. And now, in this series, maybe for the first time ever, Tatum is going to attract very, very serious defensive attention in this series from very, very talented players and what is shaping up to be a good coach in Steve Nash as well. So, developmentally, whatever happens in this season, I like this for Tatum long term. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, and he maintains his playoff pedigree. Never miss the playoffs. Neither is Brown. If you're gonna like, technically, you know, he's not gonna play in the playoffs, but he'll be there. He'll be on the bench with his fucking knee going up and down like this.
It's not gonna hurt.
Yeah,
not gonna hurt.
Yeah.
Look, yeah. Hopefully we see a miracle. You know. Hey, the future is not yet written.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I think. Even if you take the overall like talent in whatever metric you want to measure that as and put like this Nets team compared to our team, I don't think it's as vast as the talent differential when we played the Cavs in 2017 versus that team we had. Because there was no Isaiah then. That was Avery Bradley and Marcus Smart and Kelly Olynyk getting your buckets. So we managed one game out of them. So, I mean, if you think this team is harder than the Cavs team in 2017, then sure. But I mean, I think we'll get at least one. And if we can get one, we can get two. If we can get two, then we're at Joe's game six theory, and then who knows?
Hey, playoff rosters actually set yet?
Playoff rosters?
Yeah, is it still too late to cut Tremont Waters and sign IT? Come on, people.
I'd sign Kelly Olynyk so he could break Kyrie's arm.
Pull it out of its socket.
Yeah, why not?
Are there any playoff series that you guys are looking forward to in particular, aside from Celtics Nets?
I'm immensely looking forward to the one particular play-in game tomorrow.
Tomorrow?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Likewise.
Yeah. Any predictions there? It's hard to predict, right? That's what makes it so spicy.
For one game. God, I love Steph Curry. I just love Steph Curry. Mm. And I know he's not on the level of LeBron, but I so wish he was, you know? And I love if he beat LeBron and just rubbed it in his face. Oh, that would just be... Oh,
I think Warriors will do them. I think because the Lakers, if they lose, they will have that chance to play either Memphis or San Antonio. That's when they'll win that. That's when they'll play Utah. That's when they'll probably knock out Utah. That's when they'll get going. That's what I think anyway. But I reckon Steph's got every chance of hanging 50 on him tomorrow, taking Tatum's, you know, 24-hour-old play-in, most points scored record away from him. I'd be okay with it. I would be fine with it.
Okay, just dream with me a little here. Okay, let's say the Warriors win. Okay, that puts them as the 7th seed. Playing who? They're playing Phoenix.
Phoenix, yeah.
Punch's chance, right? Totally. Punch's chance.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. If I were Phoenix or Utah, I'd be shitting myself right now.
Yeah.
Right. So, but now they're now on the other side of the bracket from each other, right? So imagine, like, if the Lakers are playing Utah, I'm favoring the Lakers over 7 games, right? So now,
Same. So
the Lakers get through, and then the Lakers play the 4 seed. The 4 seed would be the winner of Mavericks Clippers. Hopefully it's the Clippers. That'd be epic. That'd be great fun, you know? And not because I want the Clippers to win, but it'd just be a fun matchup. I'd still back the Lakers against them. Meanwhile, who are the Warriors playing? They're playing the winner of Nuggets Portland.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think the Warriors couldn't beat the winner of Nuggets Portland?
I think
we could.
The Nuggets are like, pretty good.
They're pretty good, man. They're also down a dude, you know?
Yeah.
And they've been beaten by the Warriors. It's like I'm allowing myself to imagine the Warriors and Lakers meeting again in the Western Conference
That's by
finals.
Far the best timeline. That's by far the best timeline. Yeah, 100%. I'm for that.
And like now that we've won our playoff game, 100% back in on the playoff game format, right? Like, this thing is awesome. It's so much fun.
Do you think
we'll get a win?
Do you think we'll play the Wizards in the East Conference Finals? That's the real question.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Whatever. For sure. Yeah.
Did you hear Bill Simmons' Ewing theory take on the Nuggets today, that they're better without Jamal Murray?
That doesn't... He's not a Ewing theory candidate. You've got to be the best player on your team to be a Ewing theory candidate. 100%.
Yeah. All right. Well, look, I don't have anything else to get to. I think we've covered a lot, and we've sort of traversed the league even, which we rarely do on this podcast. Is there anything else you guys want to touch on before we wrap this one up?
Can the bloody Celtics.
Maybe we'll save our playoff mistresses chat for another episode.
Yeah.
But I think it's pretty obvious who I've been lustily eyeing up across the room.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, God forbid the Celtics are swept and this is one of our last, you know, live season pods, that there will be more off-season pods. So we've plenty to get to there. In the meantime, folks, sit on the hill, sink a couple of tinnies, calm the Celtics. That's going to do it for this one. Thank you for listening. We're going to try and keep pace with the playoff games here, so hopefully a new pod after each game or every two games. We'll see. In the meantime, let's just bask in the glow of this Tatum-led play-in victory. Jackson, Joe, love your work, guys. Thanks again.
Likewise,
Ben. Calm the bloody Celtics!
Celtics.
All right, until next time, go Celtics. Peace.